Join us as career changers, company leaders, industry experts, and others who have been in your shoes share their stories, insights, and lessons learned to help you find enjoyment through employment in the tech world. I'm Nemo Ashong, and this is the Empjoyment Podcast. Jebelo, Empjoyees, Nemo Ashong here, and thank you for letting me spend a little bit more time with you this day. I can't believe we're already 21 episodes into the Empjoyment Podcast. And what's awesome about this is that every episode continues to build. There's always new, I'm thinking about like Bachelor in Paradise. I'm like, there's always new drama. I'm like, there's no drama here on the Empjoyment Podcast. There's just great information and important insights shared by people who've been in your shoes and who care about your progress. Today's featured Empjoyee is none other than Eugene Nam. And Eugene is a product manager now, but beforehand, he was working in finance, and life for Eugene, at least based on what I was picking up from the conversation, was pretty good in terms of all the boxes that you feel should be checked. Top organization, financially secure, ability to do generally what he wanted to do in life. And yet something was missing. And we explore how Eugene was able to fill that gap for himself over time and get to a place where he's feeling more enjoyment. And I said over time because one of the things that really struck me about this conversation was Eugene's organized and deliberate approach to getting his role here in technology. I really felt that it was a theme that was coming up around being able to build a plan and being able to take various steps along the way. And Eugene did a great job just breaking down what his vision was for his transition and the various steps that he took along the way. I'm excited for you because I know you're going to get a ton of value from it. I have a quick favor and a quick announcement before we get into the episode. The favor that I want to ask is that I want to make sure that we are bringing on people whose stories are truly inspiring you and people who have done things that can help other employees or other people who've been in their shoes know how to move forward. And we're really about helping people who are ready to take that next step in their journey, that next level there. So career changing, job changing, trying to get that promotion. We want to hear about these things because quite frankly, it doesn't end when you get a job. And that's something that I have discovered even more through these conversations when we talk about various experiences that people have had after they've made their transition. I want to make sure that we're there supporting you through it all. So my ask and my favor, because we're building this all together, is that if you know anyone who has a story that would be meaningful to employees out there, perhaps they're your own mentor or someone you went out to coffee with who you feel would have a great experience to share with others so that their impact can continue to be multiplied, please just send me an email. We'll keep it simple. Send me an email at nemo@enjoyment.com and just let me know. Just be like, hey, yo, Nemo, I have someone who I think would be perfect for this show. And I'll take it from there and I'll love to just get connected with them. Generally speaking, I really like meeting people, so it works really well. And I will be very honest. I've been connected with a number of amazing people through this podcast, and I would love to continue sharing amazing stories with each of you. If you don't know anyone, that's not a problem at all. What I like to do is just make sure that I am serving you as fully as I can. One of the easiest ways to know that is if you just go ahead and give me some feedback. So you can send me an email at nemo@enjoyment.com and just say, hey, yo, Nemo, I have some feedback for you. Or you can just go to enjoyment.com/feedback and just fill out like a quick 2-minute survey just to share your thoughts and let me know what's going right and what I can be doing to help you out more. I'll also have a question in there to try and understand like what you're actually struggling with right now. And by knowing that, I'll be able to ask better questions of future guests and also know which kinds of guests we should be bringing in. If I need to be bringing in subject matter experts on managing time, because I know a lot of you are trying to learn and make this transition while still working a full-time job, then great. I'll bring one in. But just let me know. Let me know what you need. I'm here to serve. So those were the quick favors. I wanted to give you also the quick opportunity. I still have time set aside in my schedule to meet with some phenomenal employees. Phenomenal employees who are ready and are committed to take an action in their journey and believe that it is possible for them to be able to create the reality, to live the reality, and to explore the possibilities that are out there for them in terms of their career and their life and in terms of their overall enjoyment. We talk about enjoyment here. I ask every single guest that comes on, I say, what's your life, love, work, and passion? Tell me about that. And what I want to do is make sure that each of you out there that are listening to this podcast have a chance to live up to that perfect or that ideal harmony for each of those different areas for yourself. I don't mess around when it comes to this coaching here. I've given it as a gift to each of you through a complimentary coaching session. It's the same level of dedication and commitment that I bring to each of my coaching members, but I don't want to have to wait to have you experience something that could potentially, actually, I'm going to strike that. Like, potentially is not good enough. That's not good enough for your time. So something that will change your life. And there, boom, I said it. I put it out there. I'm not messing around here. We're going to create a powerful coaching experience for you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be deep and it's going to be meaningful. So I wanted to give you that opportunity. It's over. Just go over to enjoyment.com/coaching and you will be able to receive this gift here and spend some time directly with me, Nemo, as we go through your journey and help you find and develop a roadmap so that you can experience the enjoyment through employment that you are looking for. And your family, your community, and all those around you will be able to benefit from the joy that you exude. That's what I have in my mind. That's what I want to do for you. And that's why I want to give you this opportunity. Go over to enjoyment.com/coaching and we'll talk there together. With that, here is the episode with Eugene Nam. I'll talk to you on the flip side. Enjoy. Why, hello there, employees. Nemo Ashong here, and welcome to the Employment Podcast, where we're focused on helping people just like you find enjoyment through employment. You're in for a treat because today we are sitting down with Eugene Nam. And Eugene, I've already gotten excited just thinking about this conversation. So why don't I go ahead and share a little bit about your professional background and then give you a chance to introduce yourself to employees.
Sounds good.
So Eugene graduated from the University of Notre Dame in 2007 with a business degree in finance. He started his career in corporate banking at various financial institutions, and after 8 years, he made the decision to leave a lucrative and comfortable career in finance to pursue a more creative career in product management. Currently, he is a product manager at a New York-based startup. In his spare time, Eugene is passionate about food, coffee, and whiskey. Microblogging about it on Instagram whenever he encounters an interesting restaurant, cafe, or bottle. So, Eugene, this already sounds interesting and tasty here. It looks like you have quite a number of interests. And we've gotten the chance to get to know you a little bit professionally, but maybe you can share a little bit more about you personally.
Sure. Yeah. As you mentioned, I used to be a corporate banker, but kind of made the transition to product management over the years. It's my second year in product management. But on top of that, you know, I also have a lot of kind of personal passions in food, coffee, and whiskey. Everyone says they're always a foodie and then, you know, they're always like eating out or, you know, taking pictures of it. But I like to go beyond that in terms of kind of talking about what I've eaten with friends. I have, my own kind of master spreadsheet of places that I've eaten, places I want to eat at, and places I've kind of written notes about and like really enjoyed eating at. I'm also, you know, through my years working in banking, I drank a lot of coffee. So, I love coffee, and also just traveling around the world, I've been able to kind of go to different places and eat and drink at different places, as well as, you know, kind of pursue my own kind of fun thing with whiskey. I remember during my kind of transition into product management, I had to do a kind of a case study project and create an app. So actually one of those projects was creating and conceptualizing a whiskey app. It was kind of, you know, reviewing whiskeys that you want to drink or learning about different various whiskeys, since, you know, it's a very expensive habit to have, as well as, you know, there are so many different types out there. You know, no one really knows how to get into kind of the whole whiskey culture, so to speak.
So I am also a fan of the whiskey here. There's so many things that can go on this here, but I'm really like, you just talked about this case study. I'm sure we're going to like jump into that a little bit further, but you know, if that app is still available, just even hearing how you have been able to detail your food explorations, it gets me excited about what this app might entail there. Don't know if it's still out there, but if it is, maybe you could share it with us at some point.
Unfortunately, I did not actually make it into production, but it's all kind of mocked up, conceptualized, and kind of ready to go to market if I want to pursue it and go actually bring it into a business. I know there's a lot of applications out there right now that have kind of a similar functionality, but it was something I wanted to do when I first wanted to get into product management and kind of have something fun and creative to do.
Yeah, well, I think that's really awesome here because, you know, it's really great how you took this on, but you're like, it wasn't something where you're like, I need to go all the way through and code this out myself. You're like, the skill set that I want to develop is the product management. The skill set that I want to develop is using that creative side of you. And you were able to use that and bring that out to life through this case study. So, I mean, like, I think we all want to find out a little bit more about it. But before we do, I think it's good to like start off the conversation with some kind of framework, some kind of guidance, thought, and really just dive into like how you view the world. So would you mind sharing with us a success quote or a mantra or some kind of motto that you use to help you move forward in your professional journey?
Sure. You know, actually one quote actually sticks around and stuck around me actually since my banking days, was at least finance days, was a quote from my old former boss and direct manager when I was working at a big corporate bank in 2011. And I remember he said to me, I was actually in the office, he was sitting next to me, and we were working on a really challenging project / deal flow that came, a deal that had come in. And, you know, as the risk manager at the time, I had to kind of analyze the deal and actually get a second pair of eyes from my manager at the time. And remember, I was having trouble kind of analyzing the problem, getting information from my colleagues. And, you know, I was working really hard on it. And he told me, he specifically said, "Rise above it, Eugene. I try to do that every day." And it's a very, you know, in and of itself, it's a very vague quote, but I wrote it down, or actually rather my friend, one of my coworkers had wrote it down on a post-it note and actually placed it on my screen. And I kept it there actually for a really long time. And I actually still have that post-it note, believe it or not, it's 6+ years old. And I still have it at home, kind of keeping it as a memento and kind of reminding myself that, you know, everything in life, there's always going to be challenges and obstacles. Some of it expected, some of it unexpected, but you just need to kind of hold your head high and don't let it get to you. You know, figure out a solution, whatever you're working on, whatever you're doing in life, and work around it. I mean, it's something that has stuck with me for all these years, and I try to, you know, use that motto, that kind of quote, in my kind of own personal life as well. And, you know, it kind of complements my strong fortitude and work ethic that I kind of credit to my parents. You know, my parents emigrated from South Korea, and, you know, even to this day, they continue to work hard, not only for themselves, but also for our family. And kind of this continuous discipline of working hard and putting in good work in life and your career kind of has stuck through me in both school as work, specifically in banking, as well as my current career in product management. Everything, you know, you're always going to come up with challenges. You know, product management is a challenging role in and itself. There's always new things that come up every day. And, you know, I try to remind myself, you know, you got to kind of have to just go after each challenge anew. You know, everything's different. Kind of work around the problem, figure it out, and kind of don't let it get to you. You know, at the end of the day, it's okay to fail. I mean, that's the only way to learn, but you kind of have to hold up your head high and just keep going, keep moving forward.
Wow, I really, really love this here. This idea of like going after each challenge anew and, you know, really just rising above it there. And so I'm excited because, you know, there's this whole journey, this whole transition, this whole change here is
sure to be full of challenges and things that like, you know, that require us to rise above. And, you know, I have a feeling that we're going to be hearing a couple of different examples of how you were able to do that in your role there. So why don't we do this here? We'd love to find out a little bit more about your journey. But before we get into like where you are right now, you had mentioned that you're in product management. And I was wondering if you could just give employees out there your interpretation of what product management is, because I do find these things end up changing just a little bit depending on the role of the person or the company. So could you share with us a little bit here about like your interpretation of the role of product management and what you do on a day-to-day?
Well, I think for me, it's kind of, you know, being at a small startup, product management kind of encompasses a lot of different disciplines and a lot of functions in our company. And for me, I would say it's kind of the organizational management of every department head, or at least every department function within the company. And a lot of it is managing our, you know, our developers, working on the tech builds that are working on, as well as connecting with our kind of operations team and marketing team. A lot of it's communication. A lot of it's understanding the analysis that comes into every business decision. At the end of the day, you're not working on one thing, but you're working on multiples. So for me as a product manager, I'm building and constantly analyzing, I'm constantly interpreting, as well as constantly making decisions that are for the company, or at least in the best interest of the company, and not just, you know, my specific department. So, I mean, you see a lot of, in the internet, same people saying that, you know, product management is like being the second command or the CEO of a feature. And to a certain extent, that is true. But at the end of the day, you are also kind of managing kind of everyone else, managing their expectations, making sure that you are prioritizing and building stuff in the right order for the best interest of the company. And sometimes at the end of the day, you may not be, so to speak, the good guy. You know, you might have to turn down or certain requests, or you know, say we can't do this right now, and just say flat out no on certain things. And I mean, that comes with the role of being a product manager. But yeah, I mean, hopefully that answers your question. I feel like I'm also always constantly changing, or at least changing the definition of what a product manager is, just given everything I'm encountering in my career right now.
Absolutely. I feel like that's part of the fun of it all, where it's like, and that's why I wanted to ask you what, like, how you look at this year. Because I think speaks a lot to your skills and, generally some of the things that are necessary for success. I heard a lot about like managing expectations, working across multiple functions. And, you know, right off the bat, you had mentioned heads. So like being able to work with the leaders and help kind of come out there and decide and help. Well, you said like, make prioritize decisions that will be in line with what the company needs. And I think that's a really, really interesting point there, because, you know, what's going on in my mind, I'm like, how do you do this? Like, how do you like leverage your past skills? How did you come from finance and bring all that in so that like it would make you successful in all this year? So maybe you can walk us through your journey here from wherever you start your professional journey, wherever that happens to be for you. Would you mind walking us through and letting us know like how you got into the work you currently practice?
Sure. So, man, it feels like a long time ago. It was only about 2 years ago when I made the leap into product management. But, I mean, a lot of this actually began more than that. It was, I want to say, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer, you know. I had worked in banking a total of 8+ years. And kind of during that fifth, sixth year, you know, I was, you know, talking to myself, and I was like, oh, you know, do I really want to pursue banking as a long-term career? You know, there's a lot of stuff happening in the industry. There's a lot of regulation that was happening, specifically in my role, as well as the department that I was at the time. You know, when I entered finance, you know, the 2008 recession had just hit. So, you know, it was a lot of uncertain moments in terms of, you know, will I have a job? Will I be laid off? And there were moments where I was a little afraid that, you know, I might be laid off given was happening, the high turnover, consolidation in banks. And, you know, I told myself, you know, do I want to do something that I don't want to do? Or, you know, should I really pursue something that's safe? And, you know, everyone growing up, I feel like everyone kind of pursues something that's very traditional, something that's very safe. Mostly because, you know, everyone tells you to do that, or your parents tell you to do that. And, you know, believe it or not, actually before I did finance, I was going to be a doctor. I kind of pursued, you know, advanced courses in science and mathematics in high school and college, and took pre-med courses and everything, kind of went through that traditional route, and decided sort of halfway in through college that, you know, maybe being a doctor is not what I really truly want to be. So I decided to go to safe route, being doing banking. And, you know, when I made the decision to leave banking, actually it was very carefully planned and calculated. It wasn't like the next day I jumped out of bed and I was like, oh, you know, screw this, I'm going to quit. You know, I'm going to put in my 2-week notice. It actually was, I want to say, like a 2-year decision or planning, where I, you know, I did a little research. I took classes at General Assembly. And at the time, General Assembly had just popped up, so there was a lot of like new classes and new things that was happening. I think I was in one of the early classes in product management there at the time. So I was doing research on, you know, what I wanted to pursue. And it was that first class in product management at GA that I kind of, that's where the spark kind of ignited. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something challenging. I remember sitting in class, I was the only person there in a suit. Everyone else had either come from another job or came straight for work or just was straight from college. So I was the only banker there and I felt sort of out of place, but it was kind of exciting because I knew that it was challenging. I knew I was the only one that was doing this, but it was something different and I really enjoyed it a lot. And that kind of led me to take another course in user experience design. And that kind of gave me the foundation of learning about design and user experiences and how to use different various applications, design applications like Sketch and Photoshop, and doing, you know, wireframes and mockups. And that's actually how I got into the kind of the different projects with the Whiskey app, where I had to create a case study and do a project where create the whole mockups, business plan, kind of develop like what kind of KPI metrics that I would need to kind of think about if I want to pursue this. Another project was that as part of that class was, I think if I recall, it was creating a pet finder app. I actually took a real life example where I had lost my dog at the time. She had ran away from the house. And I used that as a kind of a used personal experience to create some sort of digitized pet finder, so to speak, or a lost pet finder or a lost, or kind of sort of a dog pet network. Because at the time I didn't see like there were any good alternatives. It was very traditional. It was very manual in terms of printing out flyers, you know, going door to door and talk to your neighbors. So, you know, creating those mockups, writing up, drawing up the sketches and wireframes, and, you know, creating different business plans really was really exciting to me. And I wanted to kind of keep going and pursuing that. So at the same time, you know, it was also a challenge. I was working full time in banking. I did not want to slack off my full time career, of course, even though I was thinking about making this transition. And I mean, that kind of goes back to, like, I continued to have like a strong work ethic. So I didn't want to be slacking off at work. So I was doing my full-time job. And then maybe 2-3 times a week, I was going to class in the evenings and learning about product and UX design. And, you know, working on homework on the weekends or working on homework in between at work when I had some downtime, or even working out throughout the night, you know, pulling overnighters to make sure I got these projects done as well as my work full time. And kind of during those 2 years of, you know, planning, researching, taking classes, I knew that, you know, I had accumulated enough kind of information, enough kind of self-education, kind of to pursue or make that leap of faith of leaving banking full time. I remember it was really scary just making that kind of decision to leave. I actually remember where I was exactly. I was actually with a group of friends in Miami. I had gone down for a friend's birthday, and I had brought two of my other best friends to come kind of have fun with us, my best friend from college. And, you know, I remember I sat next to them at the hotel, and I was like, you know, guys, I need advice. I really need your input on whether or not if I'm being crazy, is this a stupid mistake? Why am I leaving all this money on the table to do something that I'm not even sure will lead to anything? And, you know, they both gave me both, you know, pros and cons and both decision points. And, you know, it's from those advice and guidance that I got from my friends, from my brother as well, that kind of made that leap of faith and pivot into product management. So, you know, I walked in my boss's office, gave him I gave him 1 month notice. I wanted to make sure I was left in a good note. You know, I don't like to burn bridges, and I encourage everyone actually listening to this podcast to never leave bridges wherever you go. At least never leave don't burn the bridge wherever you go. And I made a decision. I talked to my boss and I'm leaving. And I left. You know, I at the same time, I actually had just received word that I had was accepted into this startup program called Startup Institute, which is kind of a similar accelerator program to General Assembly, where it kind of gave you foundations in web dev, web design, as well as kind of having a foot in the New York City startup scene. I mean, Silicon Valley is also very different from New York City. As they say, Silicon Alley here. And, you know, I really wanted to wet my feet and really hit the ground really fast and really hard. So I did the program full-time at Startup Institute and really had to hustle. You know, it wasn't easy as I expected. And, you know, I went on, I can't even count, I'm probably 50, 75 different coffee chats, different meetings, talking to people, kind of getting advice, getting insight on product management, and web design. I remember I was kind of wavering if I had to make the right decision. And people were telling me, even at the program, like, wow, you picked the hardest role, hardest function to kind of pursue, given that, you know, a lot of product is one of those paradoxes where if you go to any, or at least most companies nowadays, you'll see, or at least maybe at the time, you'll see that they're looking for a product manager that has 3 to 5 years experience, and yet there are no kind of junior or product intern roles. So it's kind of like, how do you get into product without there being any junior positions available? So I really, really interviewed a lot and networked, and was really fortunate to connect with one of my instructors actually at Startup Institute. Her name is Amelie, and she connected me with Jennifer Howe, which was at the time the director of product at the startup, and she kind of gave me a chance. She gave me kind of an opportunity to kind of wet my feet. I mean, at the time, it was only a product internship, so I was very fortunate to find a very junior product role, and kind of I took it from there. I really, really put in the hours, really went above and beyond, at least I hope I did, to kind of show Jennifer as well as the company that I really wanted this role and I really wanted to pursue product management, and really was fortunate that it actually took me on full time and kind of slowly made my way from product analyst to a full-time product manager.
Yeah, you know, Eugene, firstly, thank you for taking us all throughout this journey here. it's going to be fun because we're going to explore this even deeper here. But I think, like, as I'm listening to this here, there's so many, like, themes that are just, like that are ringing through to me. And it's, I think the place I love to start here is just, like, acknowledging that this was not at no point in this journey was it a quick, like, change? Was it a quick decision? Was there, you know, fast movement? Was there, like, you know, you woke up one day, you're like, yep, I just think I'm just going to just drop all this and like, you know, start something new. It was thought out. It was meticulous. It was done in a way that, you know, I guess what's coming to mind is, like, a lot of times people say, like, you know, you just need to follow your passion, just go out and do it. Like, and if you're not doing it, you're not doing the right things. And it feels like you gave yourself a chance to, like, hedge your bets in a bit. Like, you didn't do it with a lot of risk. And let me put it that way. I think that, like, and look at it. Like, let's be real. That's already like a manifestation of your prior role, because you had mentioned that you were doing, like, some risk management at work, right?
So, but I know we had to be very risk averse and banking, at least my role as a risk manager and decision making. So that, you know, part of that carried over, right? I have to make sure I did the research, I did the analysis, I make sure we covered your asses, so to speak, and really made sure I made the right decision before making that leap of faith.
I think that's really I'm really happy to hear you say all this, because it's one of those things where it just sometimes it just feels like you just have to be in there, or you just have to, you know, like make this thing here. And I really appreciate you walking us through your analysis and how you did it over the years. And you know, like six to 8 years of just like pure, like, you know, experience in any industry is not easy to walk away from. I did the same thing when I left the actuarial and consulting world. But even just to the fact that you're like, don't burn down the bridges. Let me give them a month. Let me make this like really comfortable on all ends there, so that like no matter what, at least on your part, you knew that it was risk-free, or in a sense, you know, and that I hope allowed you to then pursue this with even more like passion and gusto. So, you know, there's a couple of different things you had mentioned here that I'd love to explore a little bit further. And, the first question that came to mind was like, I was thinking about this Miami trip. I haven't been there. And I think a lot of us, have, you know, had that time out where we're just like sitting down and just like relaxing and hanging with friends. It looks like you were able to get some really good heart to heart. So like, out of the different, pieces of advice that you got, like what was maybe in your mind, what was like one of the biggest things that helped you, decide like, yeah, you know what, this is the time to do it. I think this is the right move for me.
You know, one of the factors that kind of made me make that decision was, you know, you need a great group of people around you, whether it's family, friends, or colleagues, kind of give you guidance and give you advice. I mean, you know, obviously, life is not easy. There's always going to be a lot of bullshit. There's going to be a lot of things that come at you. And I received a lot of guidance from like my brother, from my family, from my really close circle of friends that a lot of them I still talk to since my high school days. And, you know, I recently actually went to this product career meetup. And one of the speakers, he said that one, and it applies to, I feel like it applies to anyone's career, not just product management, but one should keep sort of a board of directors in there with them, kind of made up of their friends, family, colleagues that know in the industry that you're in or you want to pursue. And it was only recently that I realized that I was doing the very same thing. I just didn't put a term to it until recently, where, you know, I had my own board of directors and from my family and friends telling me, you know, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. I mean, at the end of the day, I am making the decision. I made the decision to leave, to put in that notice, to, you know, leave a comfortable career in banking and do something very passionate and very different. But, you know, a lot of those folks and friends tell me, you know, you have to do something that you want to do, but you also have to be smart about it, right? You need to make sure you're careful, you have the right network and talking to the right folks. You know, one of my best friends, he is a developer, and, you know, he told me the pros and cons of being a developer. You know, of course, product management, you're not necessarily a developer, but you need to understand to work with developers and understand, you know, how they function, how they work, you know, as well as, you know, working with other designers. One of my instructors at GA when I did UX design was a lead designer, and she told us kind of the ins and outs of the industry of design and working with other designers, whether they're full-time or freelance. And a lot of it also came from, you know, working in banking. As a risk manager, you have to work with your colleagues, whether it's on the, you know, investment banking desk or in the operations desk, as well as working with clients in the front office, you know, managing their expectations, working with them throughout the day or night, and understanding their needs. So kind of having all that experience, both personally as well as from my career, at least previous career, I knew that, you know, this transition would be somewhat seamless. It wouldn't be entirely seamless, obviously, but it would carry over well enough that even though I was going to something new and outside my comfort zone, I knew that the skills that I kind of honed in from my finance career would transfer in nicely in product management. And, you know, having, you know, check the boxes of, you know, this is going to transfer in nicely, and making sure I had enough support from my friends and family in terms of helping me, as well as, you know, I'll be honest, you know, working in banking, I was able to have at least a bit of financial cushion in terms of pursuing something and having, you know, in a sense, zero income for quite a bit if I needed to, as a safety net, so to speak. So, you know, like I mentioned in the beginning, that, you know, any decision I made was very carefully vetted and carefully planned. It wasn't rash. It wasn't done on the spot. And I just need a lot of decision points from my friends and family was just to make sure everything was carefully planned and articulated, so to speak.
Yeah, this feels really, really great there, Eugene. And I think, like, you know, I really appreciate you putting out the fact that you, like, you know, you made sure that you were financially ready to do this as well. So you can do this. And again, I think it's just all this, this part of you taking the steps, whatever you needed to do so that you can just fully invest without having to look back. I'm like, I'm remembering, you're like, I put in nights, weekends, like breaks, you know? But like, you didn't give yourself excuses. You rose above it, you know? And you made it happen, and you made it happen in a time frame that not only worked for you, but, like, you know, really just, I don't know. I get excited listening to this here, because there's the aspect of, like, you don't need to just, like, rush in to make a really, really great and important decision in your life. You know, I'm happy that you've been able to walk it out there in case there are any employees out there that also want to take that kind of time to have that stability over. I think that's really what it is. I think it's like the idea that, like, if you enter the tech industry, if you move into tech, like, everything's going to be completely unstable, or there's, like, you never know what's going to happen. And you're like, you know what? You don't actually need to do that. I can do, there is a different way. And we're all about that different way here. And I think one of the things, though, about when you do a different way or you take a different path is that, you know, it leads to, you know, unforeseen challenges or different problems that you have along the way. And, you know, I would love to talk through one specific roadblock that you encountered today. So would you mind sharing with us a story of a specific challenge or a difficult time at work that you had and the steps that you took to overcome it?
Sure. I can't recall a specific project or kind of, you know, what that challenge was, but I want to say actually the biggest roadblock actually kind of going into this transition and actually just in my career, both in banking as well as product management, is kind of the biggest challenge that everyone faces or will face or continues to face is really themselves, specifically kind of their mental self. You know, when I began this journey, I was still working full-time in finance, and I had to balance both full-time banking as well as transitioning into PM and technology. So, and, you know, finance is already a very demanding career, and I could not afford to make mistakes. And there were a lot of times where I just wanted to kind of quit. You know, I said to myself, oh man, this is really hard. You know, why am I doing this? This goal is impossible. Why am I leaving such a comfortable spot that I'm in? And I've already put in 8 years, I guess at the time it was 6 years in. Why am I doing this? You know, I must be stupid. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just had to push through it, really, and kind of knew that whatever you do, you need to start somewhere, right? So when I was in banking, I was an analyst. You know, you shouldn't expect to be, a director or an MD first year, 2 years into banking. You kind of have to start low and put in your hours or put in your dues, so to speak. And I knew I had to do the same in kind of technology and products. So, you know, I did baby steps, kind of looking at taking classes, doing my internship, and really just putting in the hours. You know, at the time it was an unpaid internship, and, you know, wasn't getting paid much. You know, maybe got some things covered, but in a sense, you know, not enough to live in New York City, so to speak. But, you know, I really pushed through it and really persevered, and really, you know, at the end of the day, really just need to kind of face yourself and just tell yourself that you need to, that you can do it. You know, that's really the biggest roadblock I felt was in my career, or at least in my journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, I I'm so happy that you put out there like the mental game out there, and really like it's just it's us versus us in a sense, right? It's you versus you out there, Joey's. Who will win? I like to think the you for good and the you for growth. So like along those lines here, like because you put it out there, like this is something that everyone's going to be internally wrestling with in different ways. And I think one of the things that you have really done well was just that aspect of being able to find the, like, to create the extra time to help make this transition come. And, you know, and you had mentioned, like, you know, during the internship, you weren't getting paid much. So I guess, like, for you, can you kind of, like, maybe walk us through some of the analysis you did or some of the things that you did to, like, help? I keep saying this because I believe it's you don't find time, you create it. How did you like to create the time to take on a full time job? You know, the people out there that have families that are, you know, that there's a lot going on in life, you know, and we all have something that takes up the same 24 hours that we all have. So, you know, seeing as this was such a challenge for you, I would love to kind of talk through how did you really create that time to allow yourself to have that stability and ultimate flexibility to just leave a career that you were successful in.
Yeah. You know, I guess really you have to kind of find that time on your calendar, really. It's kind of really simple as that. You know, of course, you know, working full time is in a challenge itself. My hours at the time was, I would say, pretty volatile. It could be anywhere from as early as 7 or 8, maybe 6 a.m. and could go out to any time from 6 to midnight, right, so to speak, or even later. So I guess, you know, you just need to really, you know, have expectations. Put in, if you're going to go to class, you know, work out those hours with either whoever you're reporting to and make sure that, you know, this is something you're doing, and make sure you schedule out that time for class. Obviously, if you're paying for that class, you know, you should be making time for those classes. But, you know, even if you, let's say you're self-teaching yourself to code or do some front-end or back-end coding, you know, carve out an hour or somewhere, or half an hour somewhere at the end of the day, or even, you know, during lunchtime. You know, I was always carrying, you know, an HTML book in my kind of briefcase or, you know, messenger bag at the time, just looking at various, you know, front-end coding languages and understanding, you know, at least getting the basics down. Whenever I had the time, you know, I carried my personal laptop where I could and just sat somewhere for an hour during my lunch break or after work and just kind of read. You know, you really just need to carve out time. Everyone has, like you mentioned, that everyone has the same 24 hours. Obviously, sleep is important, but sometimes you just kind of have to sacrifice or offset certain things to really do what you want to do. And, you know, there are times that I was working out to 2-3 in the morning, just working on my general assembly projects or working on full time at work. And maybe I would find a really, really quiet, quick moment for a half an hour and work on a project or read about something. You know, take advantage of the weekends too, right? Obviously, everyone's situation is different. So hopefully, you know, everyone doesn't have to work on the weekends or at least 7 days a week. But, you know, find time to do a lot of reading, meet up with people and network. And also just find time to take a break and sit back and kind of understand why you're doing what you're doing, whether you're making a career change or just want to learn more about a certain topic. I remember leaving banking. When I left, actually, my last day in banking, my last day, one of my good friends from school, she texted me and she was like, "Do you want to run a half marathon?" And I was like, "Sure," because, you know, I made this decision to leave banking, but I left because I wanted to take better care of myself personally and physically. And, you know, working full time is also a challenge in terms of taking care of yourself. So I made a decision to start running more and exercising more. And actually, even though that marathon, or at least half marathon, was a little more than a year away, actually, it was more than a year away from when I left banking, I had probably never had run a marathon or even half marathon, even like a 5K in my life, and knew I had to start somewhere. So, you know, little by little, I ran, you know, 5Ks, then 10Ks, then upgraded to like the 10 mile, and eventually worked my way up to do that half marathon a year later. So, you know, take baby steps, find time where you can, and really make sure you find time to also take care of yourself, both health-wise and personal.
Boom. I love it, Eugene. I love it. I love where this is at. And I think that, like, even just that half marathon example that you just shared with us there, like, it really got me thinking. I'm like, you know, employees, if you're thinking about this move, like, start now. Do like either make the commitment to something like a year and a half from now, I'm going to, you know, take that marathon or whatever it is. And I love that you didn't just say, all right, I'm just going to jump in, you know, oh, half marathon in 2 weeks. I just quit my job. Like, let's go. You're like, great. I can commit to this now and do the steps along the way such that it's like a clear transition and you can build yourself up to it. So, you know, I'm looking at all these things here, and you've had all these challenges. Your journey's gone through so much here, but it's clear that you are successful, and it's clear that you've done some really, really amazing things in your life. So I love to spend some time just talking about a project of yours that brought you great joy. You know, would you mind walking us through your proudest professional moment and the steps that you felt led to your success?
Proudest professional moment. I would say there are actually two, actually. My first one, actually, very quickly, was kind of transitioning, or at least hearing from my boss that they wanted to put me full time and eventually put me on the course to become a product manager. And I think that kind of gave me validation and, you know, told me that, oh, I made the right decision, I'm doing the right things. I'm not quite there yet, but, you know, all that hard work really paid off, and I just need to keep doing what I'm doing kind of to make sure that I achieve that product manager role, as well as, you know, moving on to whether or not it's being a VP or director, even, you know, being a product owner or something. But, I mean, I guess that was my first proudest moment. But really, the second one is the one I really want to focus on, was really, and I'm sorry if I keep going back to kind of that decision to leave banking, but actually the proudest moment was leaving it to pursue something that I wanted to do. And I remember it was really scary. It was really tough. The day after I left, on my last day in banking, I had woken up and I was panicking. I was scared. I was scared. I was like, what am I going to do? This is ridiculous. But I remember prior to that, when I told my parents, and, you know, I always try to tell my parents, and I feel like everyone should do too, as well as, you know, what they are doing in life. And I told my parents about my decision to leave because, you know, I wanted them to be the first to know why I was doing it. And I remember when I told them, my dad had given me a huge hug and told me that he was super proud of me of taking this big step. Happy that I was leaving this really tough industry to pursue something I wanted to do. Because both of my parents knew that I had put in countless hours, coming home, you know, past midnight, either on the train or, you know, taking company car service. And they knew kind of the stress that I had taken on just working full time in finance. And they knew this was a heavy decision that I was making, and it was not made in the moment. And it was obviously carefully orchestrated over these past couple of years. And I think that was that proud moment when my dad kind of was extremely happy that I wanted to do something I wanted to do and kind of did it carefully and very calculated. And I still remember actually even to this day, just like when I told him, it was like late at night, and he just really got up and gave me a huge hug that after I told him, because I knew that, you know, my parents was a big decision on why I wanted to leave, because I wanted to make sure I was doing something they could be proud of, and also just make sure that they wanted to make sure I was happy and I was doing something I want at the end of the day.
Wow, Eugene, like, thank you for taking us to that moment there. And, you know, congrats. Thank you for sharing that moment with us. I think that's something really special to have. And, you know, just to hear how you got that, the family support and how they were there for you. And, I mean, that's a really magical moment. I'm proud of you as well with that there. That's like, thank you for sharing that there.
Not necessarily professional, but at least it was a personal moment.
Well, it's interesting because, like, you know, what I find is that, like, in our pursuit for finding enjoyment through employment, it's really about, you know, us also finding just enjoyment in life. You know, there's a lot of things where you said where, you know, even that half marathon was, you know, like, this is the lifestyle I want. I want to be able to take care of myself better. I want to be physically fit. I, like, yes, the type of work that I'm doing is important, but there's so many other factors that all culminate into really finding that enjoyment. And I think, like, you know, it's very exciting to me to hear how well that transition went. And I think that, like, you know, it's an important thing, right? Like, as just the support of our family, the support of our community, and that boost of confidence that, you know, while there's still a lot that's out there that's unknown, there are people that have our back there. So can you give us, like, one golden nugget that you would take away from this experience? And then I just have one last question for you.
Sure. I guess from all that, and I guess I sort of iterated this during this whole conversation, is really pursue what you want to do, but plan carefully and accordingly, right? You know, there's a time to take risks, and there's also a time to really be kind of careful with your decisions. I mean, yes, have fun in life and have fun in your career, but also make sure you're doing it wisely and doing it. I guess I'll just end it there.
No, it's so interesting, as you say, because it makes you think of a book that I'm reading right now. I'm looking to improve my financial literacy. And one of the things that have come up in the book was just like you know, a lot of the people who have really made it, you know, financially wealthy, they do things that aren't risks, you know, like they'll find a way to, like, if there's no upside on this, I'm selling you back your planes or whatever it is, you know? And it's just some of those things where a lot of things just kind of get glorified, you know, or like in our mind, we hear the success journey. And so we don't think about, like, how it actually happened. And even just as we kept diving into your story, I'm like, there's a lot of work that you put into this. This was a culmination of several steps along the way. And I'm really happy that you just put it all out there for us to be able to see it that way. So I love to end here with just this idea of, like, thinking about current times for you. And then if you had any advice to say, like, okay, to someone that's right now that's considering making a transition, and maybe in someone else that's moving from banking into tech, or just someone that's interested in getting the tech industry in general, what advice would you have for them? No, actually not advice. Let's What actions would you recommend that they take in the next 7 days this week to help them move forward in a meaningful way?
Mm-hmm. I think, whatever you're working on right now, kind of assess what kind of skill sets and what kind of experience you have today, and kind of write it down. I would imagine everyone has a resume or an outdated resume somewhere lying around, and, you know, really write down and assess what skill sets you have, at least what you personally think you have. And then maybe, you know, talk to a friend or a colleague and ask them the same question so that they could kind of write down what, and have them answer, you know, what kind of skill sets that you would have, you know, what they think you have, and kind of compare what you wrote down, what they wrote down. I mean, you'll be hopefully pretty surprised or amazed that you may be selling yourself short in terms of skill sets you have. And, you know, take that full set of skill sets, both that you've written down as well as from your colleague or friends, and really do the research on, you know, what you want to do next or what you want to pursue. I guess would be kind of the starting point of where you should start from. You know, I didn't choose product management from, you know, a magic eight ball or rolling the die. I really looked at the transferable skill sets that I had accumulated to date, as well as looked at skill sets that I wanted to learn and wanted to pursue, you know, whether it's coding or design or kind of managing people, so to speak. And, you know, take that skill set, do your research, and, you know, take the next couple of days or a week and make a list of companies or roles that you are interested in or really want to go into, and then look at, you know, what skill sets are needed to be in that role or company, and compare it with your list and see where things overlap. And if there's things that don't overlap, you know, see what you could do to achieve that. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's, you know, networking with other folks in that industry that you're pursuing and seeing, understanding what you need to do to get into that role or function or company. And yeah, and kind of write down a plan, you know, like write a roadmap, so to speak, not to use a product management word, but, you know, look at what you could achieve or learn in the next month, or maybe 3 months or 6 months, and maybe longer, 12 months or 2 years. You know, what can you learn in the long term and short term to pursue that career change that you want to go into? I'd say that probably is a good starting point to kind of assess where you are now, where you want to be. And, you know, obviously things don't always go out to plan. You know, maybe 1 year in, you may find out something else interests you. So always be open to like different changes or different paths that you've already set out to pursue. So I kind of encourage and challenge everyone to really do that and see where they go from. You know, you may be surprised what you might learn that you're really interested in.
Wow. Eugene, like, just bringing so much value to this conversation. I have to thank you there. Like, this is, it was really great that you broke down what assessing the skills actually look like and getting that third person perspective. So thank you for taking the time today to just like share your journey with us. Thank you for sharing your experiences and your insights with all of us. You've been so incredibly generous with your time, with your experiences, and with your stories here. And I know that you're making an impact out there for employees today. So with that, why don't we wrap up this conversation? Hopefully we can continue to talk to you. We have a community that we're building to provide some of that support to people to help them kind of continue to explore this transition. I'd like to invite you over to the employment community to continue the conversation in case people want to get in touch with you. But other than that, you know, I just want to wish you the best and thank you for spreading joy today.
Thank you very much. It was really great talking to you, Nemo.
Welcome to the Flip Side, employees. I hope you got a lot of value from this conversation here with Eugene. And I think that one of the things that really struck me around the conversation was just how comfortable he felt throughout this entire process of changing his roles. Like, if I really think about like what really struck me, was just like, at no point did I feel that Eugene was out of control in terms of this move in his life. And I want that for all of you. I want all of you to have that level of comfort and a feeling of security as you move through your transition, no matter how you go about doing it. So Eugene recommended that we take some time to truly assess our skill sets as part of the next step that employees should take to move one step closer to your goals this week. You just heard Eugene lay out a step-by-step process, which from a high level included approaching and identifying your current skills and your desired skills for the role, analyzing the gaps and prioritizing those gaps in terms of what you would actually need to focus on, and then developing a growth plan to address those gaps as needed. So your joinee for today, and you can use the hashtag joinee21, is to come and share with us one skill that you're looking to build based on your skill set analysis and the plan that you will use to bridge that gap within the employment community. It's simple enough to get there. Just go to employment.com/community or just go to employees.com and it'll take you right over to the community. You can quickly become a part of us and join the conversation. And here goes the deal. If you don't know the answer to this one just yet, but you've been working on some of the other joinees that we've come across and we've put out there, like, come to that conversation, use the hashtag with joinee and that episode's number and just join the conversation. One of the reasons we use hashtag is that it doesn't matter when you come in, similar to like a Twitter hashtag, you can just click it and see all the other responses that have come up before you and just continue on that conversation. So I want to invite you to take on today's joinee, but more than anything else, I want to invite you to come be a part of this great thing we have going on within the Empjoyment community. So we'll see you over there. It's empjoyees.com, or you can text the word Empjoyment to the number 33444, and you'll get all the information you need going forward from there. All right. I'm looking forward to connecting with you there. I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on these episodes and people that you would want to have be featured on the podcast. I'm looking forward to spending some deep, powerful time with you through a powerful coaching session, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you in the community. It's awesome because I look at what we've been able to accomplish together already, and it's been less than a month of us even taking this on, and I just get excited about what's coming next. Be ready for that, Empjoyees, and take action. All right? Here's to experience and joy each and every day. Take care, Empjoyees.